Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All over the country, armies of young people are blasting away at invaders from outer space and paying for the privilege. I'll be looking at the electronic game craze. And later, we'll hear from a veterinarian on what qualifications are needed for that interesting job.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you very much for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo, and with me, as always,
it's big, bouncing, bountiful Ben Vanel here on the couch recording at Dasilo headquarters. Mm-hmm. And in the nice little retro mid-century modern armchair.
Pants? Yeah. I'm sitting in a nice chair and I'm having a terrible time in it with the hay fever in Melbourne today.
Yep.
My eyes are stinging.
Yep.
My knees are weak.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Arms are swinging.
Yep.
Yes.
Vomit on my sweater already.
Yep.
From I feel fucking awful. It's not COVID.
Yeah. No. It's hay fever, which unfortunately has a lot of similar symptoms to COVID.
Man. I'm just absolutely nuts for hay. Yep. I love it. Hay mania is sweeping the nation.
I thought maybe you had Spotify Wrapped fever. Just your eyes watering from all the
just staring at all the Instagram
occupied
stories.
Occupied by Lana Del Rey. She's done it again. Wow. Two albums in the last year,
yes.
And it's paying off. That's what it's all about, folks.
Guys, I've got a bad case of hay fever, and the only cure? More hay.
What's that?
What?
You know, bad case of...
Oh, cowbell.
Yeah.
It's that SNL sketch from the year 2001, Tommy.
Yeah.
Why didn't you remember?
Is that Christopher Walken or is it...
I think it's Christopher Walken and Will Ferrell.
Yeah. And then, sorry. I've got a bad case of hay fever.
That's a good Will Ferrell.
Yeah. My eyes are watering from watching too much Below Deck. I've got a bad case of hay fever.
Okay.
Streaming service for reality TV.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I got a bad case of hay fever today.
Yep.
It's fucking awful, man. The trees that they plant in this stupid fucking city to be like, look, we're a beautiful place. And
We talked about humidity once on perhaps the bonus. Maybe
Let's
a real
go
one.
No,
real one.
Yeah.
Melbourne is the pollen count capital of the world,
it's crazy.
I believe.
We've got the high grass pollen for the last few days.
Because the fucking colonizers literally just imported hay fever making trees.
Stupidest decision in the world.
Yeah.
Invading a country, but then having the gall to do that and then wreck the place with poisonous trees.
Yeah.
Stupid fucking idea.
I get all the symptoms that you've got right now when it's actually ice cold because I get hay fever.
Oh, like what's from the middle of the song.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah. Love those three bloody Californian girls. I've got hay fever.
Oh, my good Lord.
Yep.
I can't
Come on,
think
Adam,
of one.
You've got to
no,
get one on
I
the
can't
board.
Because my eyes hurt and my throat hurts and my nose is running and I can't taste anything and I got a positive result for COVID.
Oh, right. Hay fever season.
Yes.
No, I'm fine. But yeah, I might shut my eyes from time to time during this.
But we're in Tommy's nice little studio. The aircon's on.
Yep.
There's a drum kit over there. Mm-hmm. I'm feeling inspired. Maybe I should go do a bit of tapping.
Some tap dancing.
Yes.
Just seeing a drum kit and going, now this gives me an idea. And then lacing up those shoes with the hard tip on them.
You stand on the stool and you tap on the drums.
Yep.
Oh yeah.
There we go.
There must have been one of those when that tap dancing was crazy in the 40s when they used to film people just jumping off of fucking buildings,
yes,
landing on the ground with a tap.
Fred Astaire tapping, tapping his way.
What's that guy who they animated some of the Betty Boop cartoons off of? Clive Palmer was it?
Yep.
Clay something.
Cliff Young.
Cliff, no, I can't
I'm just
remember
guessing.
His name.
Cassius Clay?
There were some brothers as well. There was a couple of, I think they were brothers.
Yeah, Cassius Clay.
Because they were the something brothers. It's
the Hernandez brothers.
Mario brothers.
That's who I'm thinking of. The tap dancing Hernandez brothers. who danced on their parents' necks for far too long.
They were guilty of being beautiful tap dancers.
They tap danced all over the law that day.
Yes. Tap dancing.
Does anyone tap dance anymore?
I've never seen a tap dancer.
It's like there's dorky pursuits that it's like every now and then you'll see like someone that you know on social media, they'll be like, oh, I'm doing this. And you're like, oh, okay, people. I guess there are still people fencing. I'd believe that.
Wow, yeah.
But if you had told me people, tap dancing is a thing that does not exist anymore in any form whatsoever, I would believe that.
No, there'd be tap dancers, but it's probably gotten even dorkier where it's like tap dancing mixed with LARPing or whatever right. now. Where they're like
an old bar wench having a little tap dance.
The Nicholas Brothers is who I was thinking of. They never wore any underwear, so they called them the Nicholas Brothers.
Yes.
They would jump off huge shit and then land and do the splits and then have a little tap.
Oh, wow.
Really?
Anyway, the reason I bring up tap dancing is because my nose is running like a
Well, that's a good... I reckon if you're... when you're at like Christmas family gatherings or office parties, try and get this going as a rumour that tap dancing doesn't exist anymore. Just be like, you know there's like... dancing became so unpopular that, the last...
the last class the last tap dancing,
tap dancing class is actually held in 2018.
Yes.
So, there's hasn't been... any tap dancing anywhere in the world for it's like nearly those, 3 years now.
When you hear that news story about like, no one named a kid Arnold this year.
Yeah.
Right. People have just gotten over that name, I guess. It's just gone.
Yeah, so let's try and get that going as a new urban legend. Because if someone told that to me, I'd believe it.
Sure. I would not believe it at all.
Really?
I think this is the craziest.
I think I would. That if I've someone ever was heard. Like, "Hey, yeah, I'm," I studied dance. I did ballet and I did some contemporary dance. And they actually removed the last official tap dancing class from all curriculums in 2018. I'd be like, I mean, I have no reason to think you're lying. But it's surprising.
It would all come down to the delivery. If it was someone that I was like meeting, someone I didn't know very well, and they were doing it pretty straight faced, and they seem on the level, I'd buy it. I think it's strange enough to want to believe.
It's like how they say a comedian is someone who writes funny things, and a comic is someone who says things funny or says funny things and says things funny. Mm. A real convincing person. Mm. A less convincing person says believable things.
Yes.
A more convincing person says things believably.
Yeah.
So here's the difference. Oh, is there tap dancing anymore? I don't reckon. Not believable.
Yeah.
But you're right. If someone did come up to me and went, there's no tap dancing anymore... also not believable because this is fucking crazy.
Of course
there's tap dancing.
Ben, you're right. The lead-in needs to be it's someone who you don't know very well and their lead-in is... that they are involved in the industry in some way. So just being like, well, they would know. What do I know?
Yes,
and then
you'd, exactly.
Because it forces you to think it's like, when is the last time I heard about someone tap dancing?
That's
and for
why
most
it's
people,
good,
the answer is going to be a very long time ago.
The Melbourne Shuffle that swept the world when they did like LMFAO did a lot of shuffling.
Yep.
That is essentially a tap dance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But with softer shoes.
Yep.
So it's like when you use those little brush sticks on a drum kit.
Yeah.
It's that to tap dancing.
Right. A little bit less noise.
So it still exists in a modern popular way.
Yeah.
I think
from 5 years
the
ago.
The best way
plus.
That this plays out is someone comes up to me and is like, yeah, you know, tap dancing, it's like it's kind of been phased out. It doesn't get taught in dance schools anymore.
Uh-huh.
The last tap dancing officially happened in November 2018.
Mm-hmm.
That is until today.
That's what it'd sound like if I was dancing right now. Anyway, bye.
Clickety clackety, clickety clackety.
Yeah.
We're
dancing around the subject of this podcast.
We really are. We've had we used to have to do. Feels like for a little while there, back in the day, we've definitely had some wheel spinning weeks. But we've had a very, very fortunate year where there's been a lot of stuff coming out constantly, new releases every week, stuff, news happening,
and a good year, I reckon. And we'll do our Game of the Year episodes at the end of the year, as is tradition of everything everywhere.
Yep.
And I've seen the consensus online in comments sections be more that people think it's a bad year for games.
Really?
This year. Yeah.
I think it's been a great year. I definitely think last year, I can't remember if we said this on air or off, but last year it felt like the big games were like huge and like, some all-timers in there. But it felt like when we got to the end of the year, most people's top fives would have been the same.
Yeah.
This year, I feel like there's just been such a consistent spread of really great games, maybe less that are going to make the all-time greats category, but certainly more interesting discussion because I feel like with our list, there'll be a bit of overlap, but there'll be a lot of different stuff for the three of us.
I know you said you can't remember if we said that off air or on air, but if we said that off air, it should have been on and the tap dancing thing should have been off. So if we got that the wrong way around, I apologize officially.
Yeah, because last couple of years we did just group discussions of the big games. And yeah, I think because this year they'll be very different top fives.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I also think there are less games that the general public will probably recognize as all-timers. But I think there have been games that I will put more hours into than any other games that have ever come out. Like there are some real time sinks. There is a lot of Returnal I put like 30 hours into and I'm only halfway through.
Right. Yep.
Loop Hero, like stuff like that, that are, you know, by the nature of their design.
I guess there just hasn't been like a Red Dead 2 or one of those, or Last of Us 2, like that type of big
Final Fantasy 7 remake.
But I think in terms of just pure enjoyment, I probably had more fun playing video games this year. Because, yeah, like last year, Last of Us 2, one of the all-time greats.
Yep.
But, you know, you can't say, I mean, you kind of can, but it feels weird to say that it was a fun experience.
Right.
That's part of what's great about it. Sure. It's very intense and draining.
I don't remember if this was on air or off air, but you said you didn't like some of the characters they introduced in that game. So and that made you stop having fun because of how they politicized your game. So I remember you saying that to me very loudly.
Look at this. Cluck, clack, 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 clack.
Cuckman, Cuckman, Cuckity, Cuckity, Cuckman. We are forgetting that Forza and Halo will be, they're a big ones. They're a big boys this year.
Halo has the potential to be a big ass all-timer, yes. I think. I'm still on the side that it probably will be
an 8 out of 10.
A little disappointing for what people's expectations are up to now because there's a lot of Halo's back. We love Halo.
I've been seeing a lot of that. Yes.
And people are loving that multiplayer, so that's ratcheted the expectations up again.
People are loving that multiplayer.
People be loving day multiplayer.
Yes.
But some elements of it. I've been playing a lot of the Halo Infinite multiplayer and it is fucking good.
Well, why would you bring that up now?
I don't know. Sorry to bring that up on Tapper, tapper, tapper.
His hay fever's taking control.
He's shaking his little knees.
I know, we're talking about it.
He's building up to the
my legs are starting
tapperoo.
To move.
Yeah. he's going to underline his big point with a big tap solo.
That actually would be a fucking great way to make the point. If you said, I believe this. Tuck, tuckle, tuck. People would be like, shit, dude, I don't agree with what he says, but that tap dancing was undeniable.
Yep.
Someone's like, you come
vote
to this,
him in.
Someone's like, you come to this party and like, what kind of floors at the venue? What are we talking?
Carpeted?
Oh, it's at this
I'm
guy's
out.
House. It's carpeted. I'm like, sorry, you know the rule. It's hard polished timber or it's nothing.
I want everyone else slipping around in that party. But me, I'll glide over it like Fred Astaire.
Like a man playing Halo Infinite multiplayer.
Yeah.
And playing it and enjoying it, but weirdly having an expectation of a multiplayer game now to have a certain type of progression system. And it's very strange to be enjoying largely the thing about the Halo Infinite multiplayer that it is like a nostalgic thing now. It is a throwback to 20 years ago almost, or like at least sort of 15.
Only 90s kids will remember.
Well, anyone can. I think that 80s kids could probably remember it.
Yep.
Yeah.
I would say that maybe like 1840s kids probably won't remember.
No.
Them you can count out of it. But otherwise, a lot of people will remember Halo. Mm. And it is back to feeling very along those lines again, especially compared to, you know, what Halo's been for the last like 10 years.
Mm. Yep.
And that's been really cool. It's a very different pace and style of shooter to what is popular now. And it feels good again. But the one of the modernization things is that they have all of your sort of cosmetic things are, because it's free to play now.
All of my cosmetics?
Yeah. Yours specifically. Right. We took away your Mac and your Mecca. Two names for both cosmetic companies and nicknames for Paul McCartney.
Yep.
Oh, yes. Also, Mac, kind of computer.
Mecca, place.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mecca, I barely know her.
Uh-oh.
Oh, Lord.
Can't tap dance your way out of that one. The cosmetic stuff and the progression system to earn that stuff and the
battle pass,
the
right?
Pace
it's a battle
of
pass
the battle
thing.
Pass, yeah, is poor,
right,
compared to what most other games, what almost every other game is doing.
I did see they're changing that though. I think they're some changing the way that you get like more points in your earlier games or something like that.
Yeah, what is what? So what are the problems? Because I haven't really gone in.
So the problems are that you get barely anything to start with, so you can't really customize the way that you look at all from the start, and then the most stuff is locked behind the battle pass. And then most of it doesn't look that good anyway. Like, right, it's not that. And you're earning it very, very slowly. So you'll get one shoulder pad at this level and the other shoulder pad 13 levels later or whatever, which is like very slow and a little stingy. And then also the progression is extremely slow paced. You'd get very few points unless you're doing these challenges, which is my biggest problem with it, that the way that you earn most of the XP until the recent patch, which changed it a little bit, and I'll talk about that in a second, was that you have these specific challenges that you have to do, like get 5 headshots with the pistol or, you know, kill 3 people with a banshee or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which means that you are incentivized, and all players in the game are incentivized, not to play the specific game that you are playing, but to play this meta game that doesn't necessarily line up with the objectives that you're trying to do in a match.
Right.
So you've got everyone in that match with different goals on some level.
Yeah, right. Some people are running around just trying to get do the shit to get the upgrades instead of actually playing the game properly.
If you're in there going, well, I want this fucking helmet, and until I can kill 3 people with a battle rifle, I can't get the helmet. So first thing I'm doing is going for a battle rifle and then just trying to kill people.
Right.
But the game is capture the flag.
Right.
Right.
But then it's always, it strikes me as weird, because then it's like, so then you're going to wear that special helmet to do more of these challenges that don't align with the goals of each game you're playing.
The progression system that is a given in multiplayer shooters, especially these days, is weird anyway, because it is all superfluous stuff.
Yep.
But it is this.
But I want to be Morty.
And it's a, you can't be Morty in this.
Yeah.
You could be like a kind of samurai looking guy.
Okay.
If you pay $15 Australian, I think it is, for the battle pass, and then an extra 10 to buy the items that are a separate thing to the battle pass. And then there's stuff you can earn in that, but like it's all more expensive than normal.
Mm.
And then also, yeah, just this slow progression that is done in a way that doesn't feed into the main game. And the reason that those progression systems are fun is because, you know, obviously multiplayer games are something that happens for 15 minutes and then it's gone forever and it's pointless. And so it gives you a feeling of continuity as you're playing this thing for a while, and it stops you from at least feeling that it's kind of pointless or whatever, even though it is ultimately.
Right. And like, you can increase your personal level of skill to a certain point, but there's going to be a natural cap on your dexterity and shit. So like, you'll get good enough to have fun playing the game, and then there's no more progression within that.
And you'll get it, exactly. And then you'll get a nice little reward that's just a bit of fun, and it is separate and it is unnecessary, but it's nice.
Yeah.
And all games are pointless and they give you fake things as rewards.
Yep.
That's what a game is.
Yeah. And the hay fever has just got him into an existential spiral.
And my eyes are stinging enough that maybe I'll never be able to see a game again. And so I'm fine to never play them, because ultimately they are less valuable than the lost art of tap.
Yeah.
But you know, it's like Candy Crush and whatever, where getting to the next level, it doesn't make a significant difference to the game you're playing.
Yeah.
But it feels nice to be making forward progress.
And when there is an established status quo of how these work,
And they are, it is a given thing now, because it's very fun. In like Call of Duty 4 was the game that kind of pushed it into a thing, and you were getting unlocks for your guns and things like that kind of came into the game, which doesn't happen for this. It's all cosmetic stuff.
Yeah.
So you can avoid it if you've got the right mindset.
Mm.
But the fact that it's there and done poorly is annoying. If it wasn't there at all, it would feel better than the way it is in there now. So the thing that they patched first was the first 6 games you play in a day will give you more XP than you would normally get, because you're getting like 50 out of hundreds that you needed to go up a level.
Yeah.
And now you get like 300 XP for the first one, and then 250 and down, I think it is.
Okay.
Which is better.
Yep.
But it doesn't fix what I see as the actual biggest problem that is influencing how it plays, which is teammates wanting to get the cosmetic stuff and not playing the game with you.
Right.
But it feels like they'll still tweak and fix. Like, it seems like they are listening, and that they have said that this will be an ongoing thing because it is still in beta.
Technically.
Much like me if I was to have sex with you.
Yes. You would be in a beta.
A beta, yeah. Yeah.
Beta.
That's some cool ass shit.
Yeah. Wow, beta squared.
And then, but yeah, I don't think they're planning to significantly change it until the next season.
Right.
Which is like March or whatever.
Right.
That's when they'll do the big patches, they've said, and they'll fix bugs and things like that. But I wouldn't expect anything huge to change about it for a few months.
Mm. And I guess the reason that we talk about this stuff when it is just cosmetic stuff is because kids are playing it. Like, there aren't a lot. Everyone who's playing this game is not someone who has the wherewithal to be like, that's a bad value proposition, I don't want it.
Right.
You know, like when I was a kid, I was like, I want that magazine because it has that band guy that I like on the cover.
Sure.
You know, it's like,
I mean, even if you're not a kid, if you pay for this battle pass because you want to be getting the cosmetics, it should at least line up with what other games are doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it isn't something that you can fuck up easily by going like, well, we invented this thing and we got it wrong.
Mm.
It's that you've been trying it on with how much you can charge.
Yes. Yeah.
And it is very clear because these same issues were raised by people who did the test flight things, they called them, which were little beta things.
Mm.
Anything to say about that?
No, I've gotten it all out of my system.
Great. That's a very alpha move. Well done. But it is only a bit annoying. The core game is very fun. The bit of that is being affected by people kind of being distracted from the core game is annoying, and I think they should fix that bit.
Yeah,
because it does, I think, have a tangible effect.
Which is easy enough to do. You just recalibrate the challenges so that they are things that still align with like being within the bounds of what the game is meant
to be. Well, and the game has a system set up where it'll give you like badges and awards for doing things that are helpful in the game.
Right.
So like every other game does, switch it so that those things are beneficial to you outside of the game.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, and get rid of these fucking challenges.
Yeah, reduce what the challenges give you as well.
Delete them, I reckon.
Yeah, right.
That's what I'd do if I was in charge of 343, and then I would crumble under the pressure next.
Yeah, everyone would be like, that was a terrible move.
I'd be like, well, I guess it was easy from the outside. See you later. Boom. So, other than that, Halo Infinite multiplayer is very fun, and it makes me want to play that campaign
We're going to be doing, we're going to be bringing you a first look next week. We're going to record the episode a lot later than we normally do because it's out Thursday morning here.
Yes.
We put our apps up Thursday night, so we're going to record it and then put it up straight away late in the day so that we can have a few hours with it before we bring you our hot thoughts.
It's meant to sort of unlock at 5 a.m. here, so I reckon I'm going to get up at 4:55.
Yes.
And then play the first hour groggily and be like, oh, what's going on?
Yeah, the pacing in this is bad. I keep falling asleep.
Halo Infinite's really tired. This is boring.
I don't reckon you'll do that at all. I reckon you will stay up all night instead of setting it
on. You'll stay up all night and then you'll play the entire campaign before we start recording.
That would be sick. But my hope is that it is significantly, or at least, you know, notably longer.
That's true.
Than the other ones with the format of it this time.
Well, I've been... look, we did a Halo multiplayer video where I was frustrated by Halo not being, you know, Fortnite. Essentially, I couldn't come to grips with the way it was basically just like a team deathmatch game from, like 2004.
A video that, just to wedge a quick plug in, has one of the best endings, if not the best ending to any video we've ever done.
You literally could not script something that good. So go watch that Halo multiplayer. But I was annoyed because I was like, I'm not bad at shooting games. Like, what's going on? So before the new campaign came out, I decided to go back in time.
Oh.
Play a little game called Halo Combat Evolved something Definitive Edition, I think.
In the like Master Chief Collection, that one. Yeah.
Yes. I did not realize that Mass Effect ripped off so many things from Halo.
Yeah, kind of. It's all B-movie sci-fi stuff, I guess, at some point, but specifically in the world of video games.
Gameplay stuff like... just the enemies with the little shields, the shields that change color and slowly disappear as you shoot them more and more. A lot of the guns are very similar. Even the armor is kind of close.
Aesthetically, I can kind of see it.
It is pretty close. The only thing is that Halo is a bit more like, hoorah, let's go shoot some people. And the writing is a little dumber.
In a I think, deliberately cheesy way in that first one. Like, it was it was always tongue-in-cheek.
Right, right.
At the time, at least, it was like, because a big part of it was those Marines all going like, ah, Chief, we're scared of whatever's going to happen.
That's true. Like, mm-hmm. You know. But yeah, I think I'm four missions out of 10. I think that's what it says on the thing.
You would be up to the silent cartographer.
Yes, I am.
I love Halo, dude. Yeah. It's sick.
The vehicle stuff as well is very Mass Effect-y.
Having
levels where it's like, yeah, you just drive all the way across a level in a vehicle. And sure. But it's really good.
Yeah.
The only thing that's bad is Master Chief's voice. Sure. I didn't know he had a voice.
Yeah, he's and got it's just like a cheese ball, like...
But kind of just a bad performance as well or something. Like, it just struck me as not very good. If it was like Doom Guy or, you know, BJ Blazkowicz or something, where I was like, it's time, everyone get on board. It's time to do this thing. But it's more like, okay, everybody, it's time to do this thing.
Sure.
It's a little bad. But yeah, fuck, it's really fun. The progression of, like, the campaign... is just super fluid and teaches you the game as it goes. Mm-hmm. Also, like, knowing now, like, oh yeah, you're supposed to go pick up, like, the alien guns. They're all better than what you're given.
Right.
And just, like, picking up the ones that shoot green stuff and being like, oh, I can, like, get people in two shots with these guns. Going back into the multiplayer, I think I'll have a lot better time.
Right.
Because, it's like, even in Halo 1, the assault rifle is useless.
It's definitely, like... It's not like it's a close range weapon as well, which isn't intuitive, I guess, for a rifle. You wouldn't assume that.
And it's not how I play. I'm not a shotgun guy or a close range. I'm like, yeah, I'll just stand behind this rock and shoot everyone with a headshot.
Right.
And like, that is cool to figure this out as I'm playing through it. All of that vehicle shit is still fun. Like, it was revolutionary at the time, but it still really holds up. Mm. Yeah. Having people jump in the turret, just the AI guys jumping in and tearing away through, drifting around and just squashing a bunch of enemies. Like, it is really fun. It's a sick game. For the original, it's 2001.
It's nuts.
It still holds up as a really fun first-person shooter.
It's literally 20 years old as of a week or two ago.
Yes.
That's really good to hear that going to it for the first time. Are you playing it with the, like, newer graphics on or the older?
I guess newer, was default with the Master Chief Collection.
I reckon they look worse in that particular remaster. And if you can handle it, switch to the older ones. Because I think they look... I personally prefer them in terms of, like, clarity and design and that sort of stuff. I think that Anniversary Edition... kind of fucked with it in a bit to make it look a lot more generic and a lot more...
Because it's not striking me the way the GTA Definitive Edition did, where it was like, this is just like tiled, you know, 1920 by 1080 textures, you know. To me, it does look like I remember something like Mass Effect looking when I did play it originally. Like, it looks good.
And it does... It would... Because... that remaster, so the Halo 1 Anniversary Edition was made on the 360 in like 2010 or something.
Right.
And so that is that version, but put into 4K and whatever the fuck.
Right, right.
And yeah, anyway. But that's great that it still holds up like that, because the fucking shit that it basically invented of like the two weapon cap and having to actively switch between different things you're picking up during combat.
Yep.
Was really cool. Mm-hmm. The interaction of like weapon and grenade and melee and switching between what you were doing based on where you were. The arena style sort of things with the big open areas that you go between. All of that vehicle stuff. It was so fucking cool at the time.
It's just really well executed. Like it does remind me of Mass Effect Andromeda, which was a similar sort of thing of like linear levels with little bits where you'll stop and fight. And like often just because aesthetically it's like, yeah, you get to this point and then a dropship comes and picks you up again. Or now you're inside an alien ship or whatever. But it's just done super, super well.
Yeah.
The squad mate, well, they're not really squad mates, but the Marine AI is a little dodgy, but I also maybe... It feels like sometimes they just die off really quickly and I'm alone again.
They are kind of weak, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, level design even, like I just got off the big ship where you have to, you know, activate a bunch of shit.
Yeah.
And like it feels a little, you know, catacomby, a little labyrinthine.
It will get worse in that way towards the back end of the game too.
Right.
It does dip in quality in that way, especially in the first one, with a few of the back end levels.
Because what I've seen so far is basically go forward in whatever direction you're looking when a cutscene or someone starts talking to you on the radio.
Yeah.
You know, right. It's just like, okay, I guess I'll just keep exploring through here. There's not a lot of objective markers.
No.
There's maybe like... if you're like in a room and it's like you have to leave through that door now, it'll show you that.
Yeah.
But if you're like, they're like, oh, you've got to go find this ship, you're like, okay, I guess I'll just go forwards.
Yeah.
Keep walking.
The way it used to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
I remember back then, this all used to be fields. Now it's all objective markers. The companies came in, built them up.
I do remember the turning point where I was like, what's with all these fucking tutorials? Half the game's a tutorial. And now I'm like, please hold my hand.
I don't know where I'm going.
Hearing the thing of like having gone through Mass Effect first,
right,
and being able to see that connective tissue backwards is really interesting, because I never kind of drew that line. But like,
I looked up when they both came out, assuming that Mass Effect was the influential one.
No,
it's like 6 years later.
Yeah, right. Halo 3 came out the same year as Mass Effect 1.
Right. But yes, like, just there's not cover stuff because it's a FPS.
Yeah.
But genuinely, to convert Halo to a third person game, and I feel like I'm playing Mass Effect.
Well, and then Halo led to kind of how Gears of War felt, and then they added the cover stuff to that.
Yeah. Right,
and
right.
And then that's Mass Effect. Because I can kind of, like, the way that Halo changed what shooters were into them becoming Bioshock and stuff like that too,
yep,
over the way Deus Ex would have played before Halo came out, if that makes sense what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, there. Yeah.
It was a massive, massive fucking game for the majority of that decade as well. Because, Halo 2 was like the biggest fucking game ever.
Yep.
And then Call of Duty 4 came out in 2007 as well, and like almost immediately usurped Halo.
Yeah.
And Gears had kind of done it between Halo 2 and 3 as well.
But you're right. Yeah, Modern Warfare, I remember as being, it was like the cinematic stuff was at an even higher level.
Yeah.
But then, also the gameplay was slightly different and totally took over.
Yes, and it was a kind of more of a throwback to like Quake and stuff, where Halo was a little slower paced and a little more thinky in a shooter way.
Yeah, because every like the shield stuff that we encountered in the multiplayer of like, I just got through their shield and then they moved away and then they shot me, and now I'm discovering like, oh, every enemy in the Halo like original campaign has a shield, and so do you.
Yeah.
As with Mass Effect, that's probably another thing that tipped me off. The sound effects are similar. They're like shield going down, like beep, 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 beep. Coming to grips with like, you have to be constantly moving, which does incorporate like original Doom and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's just really eye-opening to play a game that's so influential, but having really only played the influences.
Yeah. All those different enemy types that you get to, each having a different role.
Yep.
Like, the grunt is just, like, you can kill them with one headshot. They don't have jack shit.
Yeah.
But then an elite shows up and you're like, motherfucker, this guy's gold.
Yeah.
This guy's holding a big sword.
Yeah.
I'm going to kill him and feel like a god.
And then just being like, grenades are dropped everywhere. Mm. So throwing a grenade and... Is it that the alien grenades stick to people?
Plasma grenades, yeah, they'll stick.
And so it's like, oh, well, just throw a grenade at a bunch of people and then it might kill all of them.
Yeah.
But generally you can run through and because their shields are down, just bang, 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 take them out. There is a lot more strategy to it than I expected. Weirdly.
Totally. And you get into that loop of grenade a group, shoot what you can as you move through, and then when you get closest to one, melee them.
Yeah,
and
repeat
that all the time. And for the time as well, I feel like Halo 1's story, it makes sense that it comes across as like a little underproduced now. But for 20 years ago, it was pretty good.
Right.
And I feel like that where the story goes, and Halo 1 is the simplest of them for sure, but is definitely cool. And
2001 is still, there's not a lot of story-driven stuff in games.
Not in this way as well.
Yeah.
In
right,
the, like,
true.
Cinematic... Yeah. In interrupting, especially in the shooter genre.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that was pretty big. And then, 2 and 3, I would recommend doing them at least before Infinite, if you find the time.
How long is the campaign in 1?
Like...
Well, I haven't been playing it for that long and I'm 40% of the way through.
Okay. Yeah, it's like 10 levels. And I would. You can knock it off under 10 if you're playing on normal. Yeah.
They say that I don't know if this is legit, but they're saying like a par for each level that I've seen so far is 20 minutes.
Right.
So yeah. That's not.
But they also say that tap dancing doesn't exist anymore. So who knows what to believe.
True. That's true, though. I heard that the other week.
Really?
I'm serious. Yeah. Someone I met a guy, at a friend of my friend of my friend of a friend of my girlfriend's.
That's too unbelievable. Needs to be a closer connection. My girlfriend actually studied dance.
Okay, well, that's too. Then I'm going to be asked for specifics, which I can't give.
I'm Baryshnikov. And I know it.
I watched Black Swan last night, and this is what I learned about dancing.
I went down a rabbit hole because of watching Black Swan.
Yeah.
But yeah, Halo's still good. Good to hear.
Yeah.
I've been thinking about going back and playing them, but I just have played them so many times. That
I might try and get one done before.
Give one a crack.
Yeah, if it's that, if
and
it's that
one
short.
One is definitely the reference material they're using for Infinite.
It seems so directly connected to just the multiplayer that I played. Yeah.
I think if you play one and then watch like a YouTube video of here's the story of all the Halo bullshit.
Yep.
Because the problem with Halo.
Maybe I'll do it now for the last 20 minutes of this ep.
Yeah, all right, go for it.
We're sitting next to my computer.
Yeah.
I'll try and riff while I'm also sitting at a right angle to the computer, so I'm like,
This game's really hard, guys.
The story of the Halo games gets told 80% in books and shit.
Yeah,
and then the games
right.
just incorporate that stuff in after 3, basically.
Right.
Or after Reach, I guess. So
it's a drag when something is trying to make a comeback after there being a very bumpy period where they can't really pretend that the bumpy period exists doesn't exist, so they have to kind of still fold some of that stuff in, and it's like, and why don't you just do it? I can't. There are a couple of franchises, not just in video games, that have just gone, you know what, well, there's a couple of things didn't exist.
Yeah, I feel like this looks like they're doing it the right way, where it's all still happening, but it's like a soft reboot in that it's a new situation, but it seems as though it will be influenced by the past. Hopefully they've learned how to fucking set things up for people who might not know who the fuck was the villain in Halo Wars 2.
You'd have to imagine that, I really get that impression that it is a, of course there'll be stuff in there for the real ones that have gone through all of it, but it really does feel like everything of it is focused on soft reboot. Hey, a lot of people are coming to this for the first time. It's been a while since there's been a new one. There's a whole new generation of people playing these games now. Yeah.
Well, and especially when like Halo 1 through 4 and ODST and Reach, everything except for 5, they're all available on Game Pass.
Right.
Yeah.
And then Halo 5 is not on PC. I'm talking about Game Pass for PC. So you can still play that on an Xbox. But a lot of people have come back to Halo on the PC.
Mm.
And you just can't play 5, which is the most disliked one in terms of the single player,
right?
And is the one that this is a direct sequel to,
right?
So they have to ignore it in some ways, because a lot, like, they have to know that most of the people coming to this won't have played 5, and most of the people who have won't want 5 to be the inspiration for this one. So I don't want them to drop all of those threads and pretend it never happened and go, oh,
could they just
it,
not do like an intro movie that he's like, bang, bang,
that'd
bang.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
But they never did it for 4 when they introduced a character from the books as the main villain and didn't really set him up. And then in 5, they did similar shit like that where it was, it's crazy.
No one. Actually, I don't know if young people read
say
books.
They love the Halo books.
Okay. Just a video game adaptation book that's its own new story. It's like, even for a game I love, I cannot think of anything worse.
But there's a ton of the books, and like the people who are into them are into them. I've never read a Halo book or any other book, but I hear that they're good.
Wait, I mean,
can't read.
You've never even read the dictionary?
The greatest book in the world.
The Lord's, it's got everything. There's something for everyone.
And
in
it
there.
Teaches you how to read other books.
Absolutely.
It's the ultimate book.
It's book zero as far as I'm concerned.
Zero, yeah. They didn't even set up the dictionary in the Halo books as well. So even the books are hard to jump in. So
That's my question about every piece of lore that I'm getting into is, does the dictionary exist in this universe? Or is this a world where There's no governing kind of document for what words actually exist.
Right, what they mean. Everyone just sort of goes by
just
gut
remembers.
Feel. Which means like, something else in that world.
Gut feel?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what it's like when you shove something into your gut What's the feel like? Mm-hmm.
Right, yep. Right. That's not a. It's not an idiom. Yeah.
Cool. It's good that Halo's good for a first timer.
We'll find out next week.
Yeah.
probably earlier when them reviews dropping. I wonder.
Oh, true. Yeah, that's a good point.
Don't know.
When that embargo up?
Where our code? Where our code?
Hey, we don't have any. We rarely do. We're real gamers.
Mm. Yeah, we're real. Out there,
yeah.
We're not tap dancing. No. We exist.
We're not having to put that little asterisk down the bottom of a review that's like, well, you know, we've got a
this
we've,
game
we've
invited
got a
by
partnership.
Sony. Yeah.
But that's not that's not affecting
very
our
rarely,
editorial.
And we do tend to mention it.
Yeah. We do mention it.
Yeah, yeah. We wrote this game at the pleasure of Nintendo Corporation.
Yeah. Watch a video about the Halo story, and it'll probably be confusing. Mm. But do that before playing Infinite, I reckon.
I also feel like, if you've watched a bunch of sci-fi movies,
yes,
it's
just doing sci-fi stuff,
yeah.
And it's like, hey, guess what? There was an ancient race.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
There was
okay.
an ancient race before the humans. Guess what?
I'm gonna not play the games. I've just decided what I'm gonna do instead is get on Audible and listen to all of the books at 7x speed.
Great.
To catch myself up.
Sure, like how people listen to our podcast.
Yeah.
Apparently.
What's going on, the aliens?
For just people who are listening freeway, at double speed.
Oh yes, I'm taking it all in. I am ready for Thursday at 5 a.m.
The Master Chief walked over to a tank and then he flipped it over and people were like, "How the fuck did you flip it over?" And he's like, "I'm very strong." Cool.
Yeah. Good shit.
Yeah.
Now. Is it time for an ad?
What that dick doing?
What that mouth do? Who do you think? This is a guessing game.
Okay.
Who do you think has sponsored this episode of Filthy Casual?
I can tell you who I hope. Now, I haven't listened to the last 40 episodes.
Okay.
But I hope that it's the good people from... No, I'm not going to make a joke. Manscaped.
Yeah, it's Manscaped.
Oh,
it's
good.
And it's actually the Manscaped products, not the books about manscaping.
Right, no, right.
That they do,
when
they take inspiration
from. Lawnmower
4.0,
but all the stuff with Lawnmower 3.5 that happened in the pamphlets.
Yeah, and this just turns up on my doorstep. I'm like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
Of course, when you order the Lawnmower 4.0, they send you a dictionary as well.
Right.
So you get, you know.
They do send you some newspaper.
Yeah,
some fake newspaper. Oh, I guess it's real paper, but fake news.
Oh, I'm going to read. I'm going to read the copy, and I hope it is not as confusing as the Halo story.
Okay.
Okay.
Master Chief was born.
It's do you reckon he has a beard under there? Do you reckon he needs Manscaped products?
I reckon if you were wearing like a big, like probably like what, like a little jumpsuit, long johns, and then armor over the top.
Yeah.
You want to keep yourself pretty smooth.
Do you reckon he's got pubes? Master Chief got pubes? They officially said that he pisses in the suit.
Really?
Wow. Yeah, like one of the developers on Twitter or something was like, yeah, I can confirm he pisses in the suit.
I guess
you'd
probably have to have a custom Manscaped suit then that trims your pubes for you.
Right.
Because you know, if you're not taking it off, you're pissing in it.
But if you're not taking it off, what does it matter if it's overgrown?
Oh,
you'll never know when it matters. That's the point.
That's true. Yeah.
You could meet a lovely CGI alien woman or something.
Oh, yeah. Yep, yep.
I don't know.
Be so lucky.
Nevertheless, it's holiday season. And that means there are stockings to be stuffed and elves to be cuffed. Don't know what that means.
Hey, cuffing season of like in the other hemisphere.
Yeah.
It's a term for like getting yourself ready, finding a partner for the colder weather.
Oh.
As it's heading into winter, you want to be booed up when you're rugged up inside. So it's like cuffing season is like time to find a mate.
Okay.
Because it's summer here, we call it single Santa summer over Christmas.
Yeah.
We call it Santa's summer of slurp.
We call it Kiss Kringle.
Nice.
Well, today's sponsor and every day's sponsor, Manscaped has gone global with the tools to guarantee you will score under the tree and the mistletoe.
Shave your old saint dick.
Very good. Manscaped is the leader in men's below-the-waist grooming, and they have served more than 4 million men worldwide.
Fuck, that number grows a lot every time.
Yeah, yeah.
This podcast must be huge.
That's exactly right. We're doing a great job, and they will continue to be our sponsors because of that. If my math is correct, that's almost 8 million balls.
Almost.
Yep.
Yeah, it's probably not. It's no more than.
Yes. Well, probably not.
No, there'd be more people with one than three.
But as we've said before, fucking sick gift for your male partner or female partner or gender non-binary partner. Whoever has hair that needs to be shaved.
Yeah.
The Scaped company, man's or otherwise, has got you covered.
Yeah,
scape them up.
Yeah.
Everyone's got hair that needs taken care of, no matter what their pronouns, except for Matt Lucas.
I guess so. Yeah, he doesn't have hair.
Yeah. He's got that. He got that alopecia.
Yeah, I guess so.
A manscaped goat is a very smooth goat. A scapegoat. Anyway, that's sorry,
what
Christmas.
That's what they blame it on. Yeah, that's it, really.
That's it. Manscaped.com. Enter the promo code FILTHY and get 20% off and free shipping.
Very important this time of year.
Yeah, you're probably paying a bunch for shipping for other shit because you're buying a bunch of stuff for Christmas.
You ain't using our code. FILTHY, 20% off, and get 100% of your hair off.
Exactly. If you want. If you want.
Or 20% off. Mm-hmm. It's accurate. Oh, that's, the shit's
honestly,
accurate.
Honestly, I reckon I get about 20% off.
I didn't realize that it came with little
attachments.
What are they called? Attachments. Forgot to put them on, and I accidentally went little boy style the last time I did it.
You can overshare with your friends if you go to manscaped.com, use the code FILTHY, 20% off, and free shipping.
You've been applying your little boy style to a bunch of different games this week.
I certainly have.
It's my understanding.
That would be your second comedy album, Little Boy Style.
Little Boy Style is the style of game I've been playing, yes. Been catching up on a couple little things, nothing too major, but a few things that are, I would say they are not really reaching for the stars with what they're doing, but what they are doing or attempting to do, they're doing very well.
Okay.
First of which is I've been dabbling a bit more in Animal Crossing. There was a big update recently.
Literally not you can't even see the stars in that one. The sky, you're in the sky.
Yeah.
You can probably see the stars on the horizon. But I just mean in terms of perspective, you're looking down on the thing.
Oh, yeah. But then you can go to the edge of your island and kind of tilt the camera up. And you can do a bit of star watching.
Happy Home.
Happy Home Designer.
Is that right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Happy Home Designer.
Go down to the docks and...
Brother, say no more.
Actually, now that you mention it, you go to the docks and you go up to the where you get in the little plane to go visit other players' islands, and there's a new option that says, I want to go to work.
Oh, on a plane?
I'm down on the docks.
Yeah.
I'm going to work. So you go to another location that's like a little resort.
Mm-hmm.
People come in and they go, hey, we want you to, this is what we want our ideal home to look like.
Oh.
And so you're just doing these little design tasks. You're making people's houses look how they want. And then you earn little stuff through that you can... You can't transfer the currencies across between the islands,
right.
But it has its own shop of things that you can buy and then take back to your main island.
Right.
Okay. So you are incentivized to kind of do stuff if you want more stuff in your main island.
Right.
But then also, yeah, they've added heaps of stuff into... Like, patched into the game. There's, like, a big update that, just added more, more stuff to buy. You can cook now, although in a very annoying Animal Crossing / Nintendo decision, it's only the main account that can cook.
Wait, that's stupid.
So it's always been the case that like only the person who's like the main user of the game
can
make decisions like adding bridges and do big infrastructure stuff.
Yeah.
That I understand.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Well, to an extent. Yeah.
There's like an internal logic. Some bullshit like that. Yeah.
There's an internal logic to it being in the game that it's like, you're the mayor. It's like, you get to build the bridges.
Yeah. And in the case of like, an adult and some children having accounts.
Right.
Yeah,
it would be good to have the option to remove those restrictions.
Yes.
But yeah.
So you also, you can't cook unless you're the main... Unless you're the main head honcho.
That's weird.
Yeah.
That's like making fishing something that only the main person can do, right?
So
like,
how intricate is cooking then?
Yeah.
Like, what is the process of
it's
cooking?
It's like, you know how you the crafting stuff that you do?
Yeah.
It's just a new little menu of that where you like, instead that's of having your little crafting bench, you build a little kitchen and you unlock new recipes and you have to like, you can make farm crops and everything as well.
Okay.
Yeah. Maybe I'm wrong. I'd love for someone listening to tell me if this isn't the case. But we've been trying to get it cranking on my girlfriend's account and we just cannot. But she is still playing the game heaps, had kind of gotten back into it again just before this update came out.
Mm.
And as someone who's playing the game a lot, she is loving all the new stuff that you can do in it. And just the new stuff that you can buy, even without the option of... being able to do the cooking. But there's now a coffee shop in the museum that you can just go and... hang out in. Yeah, it's cool. It's a big upgrade. So yeah, I reckon if you've dipped out, I reckon it's worth having a little go in again. And the new thing being in there being a game that's got like not so much the most classic of progression in a video game, but it gives you these little kind of
goals.
Tasks and these little goals, which is, you know, if you feel a bit tapped out on
right.
the main game, it's a bit less aimless than that. It's kind of little design challenges, which are fun. And going along to a new island is cool. You have to pick like a work uniform. So it's got all this kind of, and yeah, being able to like get different stuff that you can't buy on the main island
right.
to take back over. It's cool. It's
I've definitely
neat.
Been really thinking like about starting over again.
Yes.
So
yeah.
Maybe.
In your life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Move Moving towns, to an island. Change your name.
Oh, man. Imagine that. And unable to cook.
I do think that they also.
Only the mayor makes
yes.
meals.
Yes.
I do think that they also changed the. Like how slowly stuff unlocks when you start the game.
Okay.
I believe that has all been streamlined and sped up if you start the game fresh now.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Because that was good when it came out because everyone was sort of doing it at the same pace.
Yeah.
And
lockdown had just started.
Yes. Yes. Across most of the world, yeah. I think, and the thing that we tend to forget because we are constantly playing games is if you're someone who has not bought this game yet, there's just more stuff in there. It's right. an even better value proposition.
There's so
is
much
there
stuff
some
in there.
Like addition you can buy with everything, or is it all still like? I'm assuming it's all.
It's just
Nintendo
a patch.
Style, like full price, and then this one is $40. Because the Happy Home thing is $40.
Oh, the Happy Home thing's a separate thing.
Yeah,
but all the right. other stuff they've added is just free.
Cool.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
just
yeah.
a free. It's just an update. So when you get the game, it'll update with all of that stuff just already
right,
on there.
Cool. And that's the one they've said that is their final update for it, right?
Yes, yeah. yes.
Right.
Which seems, I guess it is coming up on 2 years since it came out.
Right.
But, I mean, it's still sold like absolutely fucking hotcakes for them. So.
It is, yeah. especially when you think they're probably not going to do another one for a while.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
bit strange to just drop it off. But yeah.
To say no more.
Like yeah. Mario Golf they did it with and like, yeah, go for it, man. I didn't yeah. even, you didn't need to put Wiggler in there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, fuck.
But yeah, whatever. Nintendo's like that.
Did they change the tennis game? Or did they add stuff
they
to
They added
it?
Some stuff.
They were adding stuff to that pretty regularly, yeah.
Because
yeah.
I went back to it a few months ago and like finished it. Finally, okay. and liked it.
Yeah,
maybe like, they tweaked it a bit.
Yeah,
maybe.
I kind of felt like that too. I did. I went back in just after Golf came out, maybe.
Yes, same.
And I was like, oh, this feels a bit different.
Mm.
This feels a bit more fun.
I don't know. Also, if it was, oh no, because the mechanics in the Golf game were fine. It was just the progression that was stupid.
That story mode was, and I didn't love the Golf game itself either.
I didn't love the ones where it was like, what was it called? Where it was like, you got to get a bunch of holes in a bunch of strokes that were...
You're racing to the...
Yes.
Super yeah. Rush.
Yeah. No. The one where it was like cross country. Was it cross country?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
They've added a couple of courses that are a bit more like visually interesting than the just standard ones. Like
yeah.
New Donk City is a course in there now, which is
oh,
a cool
yes.
idea. And
yes.
there's like another new one that's... I forget what it's... There's two new ones that they've just added. Yeah, and they've added Wiggler
yeah.
and Shy Guy, I think.
Yeah.
And they yeah. yeah, they did the same thing with tennis. They kind of rolled things out pretty regularly. But I still kind of am preferring playing the Nintendo 64 Mario Tennis
right.
on the Switch Online because it's a fun, cartoony, arcade tennis game that doesn't have any of the bullshit special shot stuff in it that
right.
I kind of think they've never quite nailed that in a way that feels just fun and
yeah.
accessible.
I think the GameCube one is my favorite.
Oh, yeah.
Because it does have special moves, but it doesn't have a bunch of the other bullshit that is in the Switch one.
Right.
I think, to me, that was the perfect balance, but I've never played the 64 one.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah,
fine. The other two that I've been playing are, I played a bit of Mario Party Superstars,
mm-hmm.
which is the, it's like a kind of best of the first, I think, six Mario Parties. And again, it's not trying to do anything too out there. But for what it is, it's really good. If you liked those original Mario Party games back in the day, they've just picked the best mini games. They've got a selection of boards in there. The presentation of it, it's all the same engine as the other Mario Party game that came out, but it doesn't have any of the like Joy-Con. There's no motion control. There's no anything like that. It's just all button control games. So it feels to me like it feels a bit better than the other one.
Yeah,
I think,
right.
Because it just is that. It's just a classic best of mix. And yeah, the presentation of it is great. If you're a newcomer to it, I think it's probably the best place to start. And yeah, if you've got a fondness for those ones from back in the day, I think it's really, really good.
Nice.
I think it does what it's trying to do. It's doing really well. And yeah, I think when they announced it, it was like, why isn't this stuff just DLC?
Yeah.
But it is enough. Like the spread of mini games is enough that it's like, well, there's enough in there that having it as a DLC would be probably too much. So I kind of get it. But yeah, I mean, you know what it is and you know if you're interested or not. But there's cool, you know, you can like put little handicaps and stuff on. So if you're playing with someone a bit younger, it does still have all that Mario Party stuff of you get to the end and of a game and you
just randomly fucking jumps.
Very arbitrarily win stars for. But yeah, I mean, it's not something that you can play. You know, of course, there's no actual competitive scene of Mario Party for that reason.
Yes.
It is purely disposable.
It's just a ball
fucking
game,
around,
yeah.
Bit of fun with some silly mini games. But yeah, they all look good. They sound good. It's cool seeing the actual boards from the 64 games kind of scaled up with better graphics and everything. Same with the mini games. And then, yeah, I started the Pokemon Diamond and Pearl.
Shining Pearl and Radiant Diamond?
Beautiful.
It's surely not beautiful.
It can't be beautiful.
Brilliant Diamond.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
That's fucking brilliant, mate.
Yeah, it's
that's real. A beautiful pearl.
Oh, that's a beautiful little diamond in it.
Four platinum will come out soon.
Yeah, gorgeous pearl and brilliant. And beautiful diamond.
Yeah, it's the art style of it, I don't love in just screenshots and stuff, but
right.
In motion it looks a lot better. And yeah, you know what it is. It's a very unambitious remake in the sense that it's very faithful to the original. I never played the originals, but everything I've read about it is like they have kept it the same. They've given it the visual upgrade. It is annoying to me that
it looks sort of like Let's Go Eevee and Pikachu, right? Like that style rather than the... Sword and Shield,
yeah.
But it's weird because it's a third sort of style.
Okay.
Like it's more chibi kind of looking than... I felt like there was at least a bit of consistency between the Let's Go and Sword and Shield.
I guess I don't really remember what the Let's Go ones look like. I'm kind of retroactively making them look like these Pearl and Diamond.
Well, I think there's more consistency between those two than there is with this one and those two.
Oh, yeah, because this looks a lot like the DS one looked, which made sense. On the DS where it's all small and squished and whatever.
It's weird.
It still does look like that, yeah.
It's weird to me, though, that there's now three kind of mainline-y versions of these Pokemon games on the Switch. And for this third one, they've gone with an inconsistent art style to those other. It's very annoying.
It's really weird because they all seem super disconnected to, and I'm not quite sure what the rules are with trading between them. But I don't think it's simple because you've only got those first 150 in the originals, and then this one is the amount that were in those games, which I think is 493 or some bullshit like that.
Right.
And then, yeah, you've got the strange selection of them that isn't all of the past ones in Sword and Shield.
Yep.
It's all over the fucking place.
And this also wasn't by Game Freak.
Oh, right.
Game Freak didn't do this remake. Someone else did.
I see.
Okay.
A different company. So, maybe that's the reason they wanted to do their own kind of style with it. But, yeah, just it's just one of those things that shouldn't bother me as much as it does. But it's annoying that there's not more of an aesthetic cohesion between all three of these kinds of styles of Pokemon game that now exist on the Switch. But it's fun. It's very much... I don't know, having dipped in on more kind of advanced styles of RPGs, especially the early stages of these games, they're all very much the same. And the people that love them love that about them and don't care. But the early stages where you've only got a couple of Pokemon that all have basically the same attack and you are just going back and forth going pound, 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 pound.
Very, very boring. You got to put a little more spice on it.
Yeah, it's
pound,
really...
tickle, twist.
Lie down and gasp for breath.
Yeah. Choke. I think the presentation of it, it's cool. It looks good. It's like all the other ones. It is cool, now after... Like growing up with these games on the tiny little Game Boy screen and seeing them now, like, kind of, you know, a bit more fleshed out. But still, as was the case with Sword and Shield, and we talked about at the time, not as fleshed out as you would want them to be for a current gen game. The animations are still very held back, and it's like, tackle. And the thing is just shaking on your screen. It's like, could we actually fucking let's see them actually fighting? Like,
there's some stuff of these that, yeah, they seem like not the best remakes or remasters where, like, it is kind of the ROM of that game running underneath it is what I've been led to understand.
Right.
That then they put stuff on top of, and then the two versions of the game are literally exactly the same download, but with one bit changed of, like, oh, it's this version and or it's this version.
Yeah, right.
And
yes,
that Pokemon
that.
Version stuff of both being full prices. Pretty antiquated now, I think.
Yeah.
And, like, just some stuff of, like, animations of, you can have your Pokemon following you around.
Yeah.
And have you had an Ekans follow you?
No.
Just a snake that floats behind you, all coiled up, floating around behind you. Stuff like that, where they seem, like, kind of lazy from that point of view. But I played Diamond, I think, or Pearl back in the day on the DS, I think in 2007 as well. Mm. Big year for games.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed that one at the time.
I am enjoying it. Yeah, I mean, going in knowing that it's not, you know, I mean, they never try and do anything new.
Yes.
But it's not a new game. And they've been very, like, everything I've read about it is just, it's straight up a lick of paint on the old one. It's like, okay, well, I know what I'm getting into. Mm. And that's fine because, yeah, they've felt the same forever anyway.
Yeah.
So it basically just comes down to, like, this was the first one that I didn't play. Mm. So this is the third gen?
Fourth, I think.
Fourth,
because it's like Red and Blue, Gold and Silver, Ruby and Sapphire, and then Diamond and Pearl. And then they did Black and White, and then Black and White 2 on the DS as well. And then it was like X and Y or whatever on the 3DS. And they've always had this thing where they're like a generation or two behind, they'll do the remake where they made Red and Blue on the GBA, and then Gold and Silver on the DS, and then so on. So, like,
so I never I never played this one, so it's all fresh to me, even though it all feels very familiar. But but yeah, just, you know, bunch of new monsters. It's fun, it's charming. And again, it's what it's saying it's doing, I think it's doing well.
Yeah.
It's not trying to be anything more than just a fresh coat of paint.
It kind of makes sense, like, because these ones as well were the point where I feel like a lot of people who were super into Pokemon were like, oh, these are not changing at all. This was the point where it became tiresome for a group of people. So doing a remake of the one that became tiresome when it still hasn't changed.
It's still,
since
I mean,
then.
It's your the start, you and your rival, you're walking around, you are plotting, just begging for there to be some different types of Pokemon and some
6 hours
attacks.
Of not using Growl.
Yes, you know? Yes, all that kind of
and
stuff.
And then you just pound and never growl, and it is not giving.
That's not the way you should do it.
No. But
it's another Manscaped ad.
That's how I do it. Put a little tail whip in there.
Yep.
But yeah, it's for a specific group of people who already know that they're there, right? Either you haven't played a Pokemon game in 15 years and you're like, all right.
Yep. Yeah.
And it maybe, is it better than Sword and Shield? Because I don't think any of us really loved Sword and Shield, right?
I very much disliked it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's probably as good but sort of better because you're like, well, at least this is an old game.
Yeah,
at least I'm
interested.
Playing a nostalgic one. Like, it's not
to play it.
I don't have any expectation of it being anything kind of new and bold because it's like firing up that Sword and Shield. It was just like, oh man, I wish there was like a couple more things going on that were a bit more a bit more interesting.
Like, potentially will happen in Pokemon Arceus Legend.
I mean, yeah, playing this does make me go, I really want to see what that is because it seems like it could be cool.
Way after we said it on this podcast, do you remember news was running of like someone on Twitter figured out that it is an open world and it's small areas that you can go inside of? And we talked about that weeks before on this very podcast.
Yes.
Which even that I'm fine with. Because it looks like the stuff that you're doing in those areas is kind
enough.
Of fun.
Yeah, yeah. Sort of like Halo Infinite, it seems to be as well.
Right.
It's like
it's a throwback,
bigger areas.
But it's bigger,
Just these sorts of things that you would like to think that they would be exploring in the mainline games. Of like, we've got the technology.
Yeah.
And it's like, what would it actually be like living in a world where these little things are running around? Yes. Kind of like in what's cool about Snap is that you're like, oh, you just kind of see them hanging out and like in the actually what they're doing when you're not, you know, capturing them and then forcing them to fucking kill other versions of the same one.
Yeah. I feel like we figured out at this point too, making something into an open world doesn't necessarily, like, isn't necessarily always the best option.
No. Mm. Yeah. It doesn't work for everything.
Yeah. Gears 5 should have been more linear.
Yeah. Those open bits didn't really add much
just
to
just wasted
it.
Time, yeah.
Well, this is another very linear episode of Filthy Casuals in that we've come to the end of it.
Yeah.
No open world, roaming around for another 6 hours on this episode trying to find the markers.
Yeah. There's a bonus mission over on patreon.com/filthycasualspod.
Mm.
I believe.
In a few days.
Yeah, there are bonus missions already there.
Oh, there's heaps of bonus
If you haven't checked them off,
go through.
They're all quite linear.
That's true. If you sign up for $10 a month, you get access to 150.
I don't know.
I think 150 something episodes of Nintendo 69, plus a bunch of other episodes of other formats that we did before that.
Yep.
There's some cosmetic paid DLC over on Bandcamp.
Yeah.
You've got free patches over on YouTube.
Yep.
Yes.
You can find all that stuff at filthycasuals.com.au. Guys, thank you for joining us. We will see you next week for our first impressions of Halo Infinite's campaign. But until then, stay safe, take care of yourselves, and as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals.
I did that with my feet.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.